attention.
In our day, certain economic truths have become accepted as self-evident. A second Bill of Rights, under which a new basis of security and prosperity can be established for all, regardless of station or race or creed. Among these are the right to a useful and remunerative job, the right to earn enough to provide adequate food and clothing and recreation, the right of every farmer to raise and sell his products at a return which will give him and his family a decent living, the right of every businessman, large and small, to trade in an atmosphere of freedom, freedom from unfair competition and domination by monopolies at home or abroad, the right of every family to a decent home, the right to adequate medical care, and the opportunity to achieve and enjoy good health, the right to adequate protection from the economic fears of old age, sickness, accident, and unemployment, the right to a good education. All of these rights spell security. And after this war is won, we must be prepared to move forward in the implementation of these rights to new goals of human happiness and well-being. For unless there is security here at home, there cannot be lasting peace in the world.
Well, sounds good, huh, Edward?
Old FDR.
Sounds good to me. I mean, I don't know. Is that what we have today?
Well, that was the whole basis behind it. They had nothing before then. He's the one who started Social Security.
I know. This was the New Deal and all that. Oh, yeah. You should hear the Republicans of today call him a socialist and all that shit. He got elected actually, what, 3 times, wasn't it? Or almost four? Four times.
He got elected 4 times. Died in his 4th term.
Yeah, right.
He's the reason that they put the constitutional amendment that you can only have 2 terms.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good thing. I mean, even if a president is great. I think
there should be a sliding scale. Like, okay.
Based on performance?
Well, it would be based on performance, but like, okay, say, I mean, you got to go by votes. It's all got to go by voting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, say the first time you win by a simple majority, the second term you got to win by, 60%.
Not much more.
70%, 80%, 90%.
That's an interesting theory. Yeah.
Well, that way, yeah. I mean, if you do have someone who's that fucking good, right, you'll want to keep them. But, I mean, Marcos president
right.
for life.
Plus, half the country's not going to think he's that fucking good. But I guess, like what you said,
if they do, though, they should be able to keep them.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Get Phil Collins out of here. See, when I turn it down there, that's called fair use, Edward. Especially since I make loops on the intros. I don't know. I'm debating whether or not playing songs at the end anymore, just to see if it works. I don't, because the rest of it is fair use. You know, these are loops I make at the beginning.
Yeah.
As soon as the lyrics start, I pretty much stop them every week.
Yeah, right.
And then the movie clips in between, they're less than 3 seconds and. I guess the rule is if you use them to critique or in comedic fashion for entertainment purposes, And plus, I don't make any money anyway, so whatever. But anyway, yeah, FDR, one of the greats. Oh, he's hated now. Boy, is he hated by the conservatives. Oh, shit, they actually hate Ronald Reagan. They just don't acknowledge it because they're pretty much against everything Reagan was for.
That's because they don't even freaking realize or know.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right. Well, speaking of pathetic, now, the last couple shootings, Edward, I pretty much ignored because But this one, a little different, Edward. fucking red flags surrounding this kid. Tips to the FBI, posts on YouTube, on Facebook.
Yeah, they fucked that up.
You know, the white nationalist bullshit, which they say may or not be true. I don't know. I saw a video of the kid with a Make America Great Again hat on, shooting his BB gun out in his backyard in his underwear. He's got his underwear, his BB gun, okay, and a Make America Great Again shirt on. His neighbor was filming him from across the backyard. Right, he's like, look at this fucking nut that lives behind me. You know, but mental illness, let's get to it. And of course, nothing again will be done. It is too soon to talk about it. You know, it's always too soon.
Oh, yes.
And you know what,
we should not politicize it,
right? And there's never a time to, because by the time they deem it necessary to talk about it, the next one happens. They still haven't talked about Vegas. Remember Trump after Vegas? Something will be done. Yeah, there's something, yep. Something. We're gonna do something. They've done literally and I'm not one of those people that uses the word literally like people do.
Literally all the time.
Dude, I was at the dentist the other day. The secretary is like, I literally had to wait 500 years to get in my place in line. I'm like, and I'm reading the magazine. I'm like, you literally had to wait literally? You know, that's Sheldon. He did that once on The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, no, that one drives me
They
nuts.
Have literally.
That one drives me nuts.
But this,
too.
You can use it here because they have literally done nothing. In fact, it's gone backwards. As you're going to hear, restrictions since Trump came into office have loosened on the mentally ill and everything. Check it out.
The president's efforts to comfort the nation tonight, striking for what he didn't say.
Answer hate with love. Answer cruelty with kindness.
Not once mentioning the word guns. Instead, again signaling.
Isn't that great? Not once does he mention the word guns. That is not even part of the equation, not even part of the problem, nothing. And by the way, do you know in Florida, it's easier to get an AR-15 than it is to get a handgun if you're this kid's age? Because if you're 21, you cannot possess a handgun unless you're 21. But you can have an AR-15 if you're 18. Now, is that fucked up
in
or what?
Florida.
Isn't an AR-15 more dangerous? I mean, I know that there are only like 22 caliber bullets coming out, but it's semi-auto with the big mags.
I'm sure the whole thought process behind it was concealment.
Like you
can't put it in your pocket and walk in and nobody knows it's there.
Those guys from Heat did it pretty well.
Yeah, okay.
I always said that when they were coming out of the bank and I'd seen them, like, nobody sees the barrel of that Kalashnikov sticking out of it. The guy's got black gloves. I'm like, okay, whatever.
His focus is on the mental health of shooters, not the weapons they use.
To every parent, teacher, and child.
Okay, and you know what? Mental health, what's he planning on doing in his budget? Slashing Medicaid. All right, you know how I get my meds and my mental health counseling and therapy and through Medicaid.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not saying I'm going to snap and shoot a bunch of. Listen, I would only hurt myself. I would never hurt anyone else. But there are guys like this that would, and you slash their fucking with little shitty health care they have. I mean, Medicaid, man. People think that I'm living high on the hog or something. You know, just to get an exam for my back coming up, I have to drive to Janesville, Wisconsin, because that is the closest doctor that either does the exam or takes Medicaid.
Yeah.
You know? So I got to go to fucking Wisconsin.
It's about an hour and something away for everybody who doesn't know.
Yeah, I know. And it's a two-hour exam. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be the whole fucking day. Because just, you know, that's the wonderful world of Medicaid.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't keep a therapist for more than 60 days before they quit or go somewhere else. I mean, they get a better job.
Yeah, they get a better job.
State-funded. Right, yeah. It's, you know, you walk in there, it's like being in a facility from the 70s, you know?
We are here for you.
The question tonight, how and when?
We cannot tolerate a society and live in a country with any level of pride.
That's Kamala Harris or Kamala or Kamala, however she says her first name, from California, the senator. I think she'd make a good presidential candidate from what I've heard from her. He's also, you know, I'm older, folks. I'd do her.
I haven't heard enough from her.
I have. I used to be high on Cory Booker. Not so much anymore. But Harris, very good head on her shoulders, you know? But yeah, there is no way a black woman is going to win the next election against Trump.
No fucking way. No.
They have got to run a white man. Otherwise, that's it.
Even some of the president's allies, like Florida Governor Rick Scott, calling for action.
How do we make sure that individuals with mental illness do not touch a gun?
Still, many Republican lawmakers say Congress needs to take a breath.
How about you start with nobody can have an arsenal? How about we start there? Okay, because then everybody, whether they're mentally ill or not, does not have an arsenal. Then you can focus on the mental illness part. Let's stop everyone from being able to buy 5, 6, 7 semi-automatic rifles in the same year and amass 3,000 fucking shells in their house. How about we start there? Am I making sense?
Well, you know, if you're talking about someone just stockpiling weapons, I mean, that's not really so logical.
I mean, if you go to the range, that's fine. There should be ammo caps, though. Okay, this guy went to the range. He shot off this many. He should have this many left. Seriously, man. I mean, when somebody had a bomb in their shoe, everybody's got to take their shoes off now.
Yeah, a Muslim
does something, travel ban. A Mexican illegal does something, build a wall. The black people, more cops, more prisons, more militarized vehicles. White people. Oh, that poor lone mentally ill man.
Yeah.
And that's where it ends. And that's where it ends.
Well, no. Because
they don't even do anything about mental health.
That's an issue. Some of those other things, like, okay, how many weapons you can buy? Actually, there are laws in a lot of states where you can only buy, I believe it's one a month. But still,
after a year, you got a dozen.
Yeah, the Vegas shooter bought 5. This kid bought 4.
But it depends where they bought them. But, you know.
I'm just saying, you don't need all that. Plus, citizen needs a semi-automatic rifle. I mean, I could see if you got a, even if you're a hunter, that disgusts me, it's legal. Hunting rifle, you know my thing, my proposal. 2 pistols, 1 rifle. 1 shotgun per adult per household. Is that crazy? Is that too restrictive? You get to have 2 pistols, a rifle, and a shotgun. I mean, why? I don't understand why people need more than that.
That doesn't sound terribly unreasonable. Or, if you even wanted to take it, one tiny little bit step first, per adult.
That's what I just said. Per adult per household. If you and your wife and family can have 4 pistols, 2 rifles, and 2 shotguns. I mean, what the hell else do you need for home defense?
There's not much reason to have a whole hell of a lot more than that.
Okay, fine. If those other things are fun, then go to the range with your ID and rent one. These assault weapons, I won't call them assault. These semi-automatic rifles, whatever. Rent those and have your fun like at a paintball course or something at some range where you just go for that, okay? You don't need to have a bunch of those in your house.
Yeah, true.
So I don't get it. I mean, it seems to be easy for me. Plus, don't even get me started on the smart gun technology, the licensing, the frequent checks, places like Kansas, they want you to be able to go in and buy a gun like you buy a pack of cigarettes. No ID, no background check, no nothing.
Well, that's how it is in Vermont and Alaska.
I don't understand why people want that. Look at the rest of the world. We are the only country with this problem, especially to this magnitude, which is 20-fold everybody else.
This is not the time to jump to some conclusion, not knowing the full facts.
The full facts are that he had a fucking arsenal and he blew away 17 people, injured another 14 in 6.5 minutes.
Oh, well, this kid didn't have an arsenal. He had 1 weapon with him.
He had a bunch of fucking mags. That's what I'm saying. He had a whole bunch of magazines.
It's rebuttal.
The idea that on days when there are school shootings, I can't talk about the need for change is ridiculous.
Exactly.
The president's initial response this morning suggesting the Parkland community could have done more, tweeting, "So many signs that the Florida shooter was mentally disturbed. Neighbors and classmates knew he was a big problem."
That much is true.
Yeah, that much is true, but fine. But he's putting the blame on
them. If you're saying this is the reason why it happened.
Anything but the guns. Mental health, his friends, his teachers, anything but the guns. And the lax guns laws. It's everything's fault but that.
Yeah.
Emphasizing mental health, the White House's newly unveiled budget would slash funding for Medicaid that covers 1/4 of mental health care in the U.S.
There you go. Slash the Medicaid. That's 1/4 of the mental health in the U.S. See? Like I just said. But he wants to focus on mental health.
Yeah, right.
And President Trump last year revoked a hotly contested Obama-era regulation that would have made it harder for some people with mental illness to buy guns.
Did you hear that?
And the hits just keep on coming.
Revoked because, of course, it had Obama's name on it. So he probably didn't even read it. He just saw, Obama, give me the pen. Obama.
Yeah.
No more Obama. Make it harder for the mentally mentally ill to get guns. He took that away, but he wants to focus on the mentally ill and not the guns. I don't know what to say.
Tonight, as for President Trump's planned visit to Parkland in the coming days, he'll meet with victims' families and local officials. The president was already scheduled to go to his Mar-a-Lago estate this weekend, just 40 miles from where the shooting took place.
Oh, well, bully for him. He'll still get in his Falcon rounds of golf. Do you remember the golf he was never going to play because he'd be too busy and railed on Obama for all the golf he played? Yeah, yeah. If you wanted to be the opposite Obama, geez, you're sure not doing it on the golf course, man. But, okay, so yeah, the kid posted on YouTube, I'm going to be a professional school shooter. Even though that makes no sense because you'd have to be paid to be a school shooter. A lot of people don't know the definition of professional.
Yeah,
they think because they want to do it, that's what they want to do, that they're going to be professional. Well, if nobody pays you, which I think you'll have a hard time, hey, I'd like you to shoot up this school. I'll pay you $30 an hour. Even though it only take about 7 minutes. But yeah, professional. That. And one of his close relatives, or not close relatives, but somebody who knew this kid, who was in his life, contacted the FBI last January and said, he's crazy. He's got a lot of guns. He posts shit on the internet. He talks about shooting people at school all the fucking time. And they didn't do anything.
Yeah,
and
they fucked up.
This I'll tell you what, and this really is great for the FBI
at
this moment in time, because now every stupid Trump pansy is talking about how corrupt and incompetent the FBI is, like the Miami field office has anything to do with Mueller's investigation. But it just fuels the fire of those goddamn morons. Oh boy.
As I'm sure you know.
Oh, here we go. And every time, the only reason I play this is because every time there is any kind of tragedy, any kind of sad news, any kind of anything, whether it's guns, healthcare, Jimmy Kimmel comes on TV and starts crying. He cries. He cries more than Richard fucking Simmons, man. I'm telling you, this guy can never keep it together on the air.
Feel this is another very sad day in America, another senseless shooting, this time at a high school in Parkland, Florida, where a gunman, a former student, opened fire yesterday again.
He's starting to crack. He hasn't paused yet, but he's starting to crack.
17 lives have been lost. More than a dozen people are hospitalized. And our president, as he should, weighed in on the tragic events this morning from the White House.
We are all joined together as one American family. And your suffering is our burden also. No child, no teacher should ever be in danger in an American school.
Okay, so then do something about that.
To do what?
I mean, how about, I've heard a lot of people say, how about retired vets as armed security? Especially the ones that are unemployed. They know their way around weapons. They got experience up the ass. They've been in fucking war. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what.
One little kid marching into the school, if you got armed vets out there, man, he'll Swiss cheese.
You know, there's the whole camp of people that are like, you know, if the teachers were all armed, then they could stop it.
That's stupid.
That is stupid because, you know, first of all, like, they have experience.
Not only that, but you can't force someone to use a gun who goes into the teaching business.
Well, that's true.
It's like, I want to go into produce and the groceries, but you have to be able to handle this fucking Glock 9mm.
Yeah, right.
No!
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, I agree. That's stupid. But you know what? That's a good idea. Retired vets?
Or just some kind of security force.
Security?
National Guardsmen. I don't know. Just one or two. You know, this particular school, I think, only had like one main way in and one way out. He went to this school. He graduated already.
Oh, yeah. Well, but he got expelled from the school.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Expelled. But he knew he got in somehow. You know, wasn't the main door.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got armed guards there who are in uniform. Okay, that's another important thing, because I've seen a lot of people bitching about the gun-free zones
this week.
Listen. First of all, you can't arm a bunch of kids, okay, going to school. Everybody going to school strapped. What, Sandy Hook? Supposed to have 5 and 6 year olds with guns? Okay, I mean, plus, okay, say even at the high school or college level, you know, where it's, if everybody is armed and everybody starts shooting, how do the police know who the shooter is when they show up?
Exactly.
How do the people who aren't in the immediate proximity, who are students, know, okay, active shooter, okay, I'm the good guy with the gun. Who's the bad guy?
Yeah, right.
Who's the fucking bad guy? How the hell do they know?
Yeah.
There's no way to know. At least with armed security, they got uniforms, the hats, the big yellow letters.
Yeah.
You know, that you can tell. Okay,
yeah,
that's a good guy.
Right.
Unless somebody gets a costume. But still, you got to do something, something besides thoughts and motherfucking prayers.
Agreed.
No parent should ever have to fear for their sons and daughters when they kiss them goodbye in the morning.
Agreed. So I agree with both of those statements. And here's what you do to fix that. Tell your buddies in Congress, tell Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Marco Rubio, all the family men who care so much about their communities, our laws, real laws that do everything possible to keep assault rifles out of the hands of people who are going to shoot our kids. Go on TV and tell them to do that. But I'll tell you something. That is a perfect example of the common sense you told us you were going to bring to the White House. It's time to bring it. We need it. Tell these congressmen and lobbyists who infest that swamp you said you were going to drain, force these allegedly Christian men and women who stuff their pockets with money from the NRA year after year after year to do something now, not later. Now, and don't you dare let anyone say it's too soon to be talking about it.
And this is why you need money out of that much money out of politics, man. You can't have it because you got organizations like the NRA who give these guys so much money.
Yep.
Without them, they wouldn't be able to run again. Guys,
yep,
like Rubio and Scott.
He said it after Vegas. He said it after Sandy Hook. You say that after every one of these eight now fatal school shootings we had in this country this year. Children are being murdered.
Maybe there's a backlog. Maybe there's a backlog. Maybe we can talk about Vegas a month from now, and then we can talk about the California one, which we didn't even cover on the show, and then maybe we can talk about this one when, by Christmas? Because then there'll be four more to the list.
Right.
When is the time to talk about it?
Children are being murdered.
Uh-oh, here he goes.
Here he goes.
You know what he reminds me of Brian Johnson from The Breakfast Club.
Well, fuck you! Fuck you.
He said it to Trump while he's crying. Well, fuck you. Fuck you.
Do something. We still haven't even talked about it. You still haven't done anything about nothing. You've literally done nothing. You've done worse than nothing. You like to say this is a mental health issue, but one of your very first acts as president, Mr. Trump, was to actually roll back the regulations that were designed to keep firearms out of the hands of the mentally ill.
Right.
You did that. Your party voted to repeal the mandates on coverage for mental health. So I agree, this is a mental illness issue.
That's a double whammy. Not only did they let the mentally ill get guns easier, but they're cutting general funds for mental health.
If you don't think we need to do something about it, you're obviously mentally ill. It is amazing to me that if one illegal immigrant causes a car accident, we've got to build a wall to keep the rest of them out. Why are you looking for solutions to that problem and not this one? Every reasonable American,
right,
Republican or Democrat, knows that something has to be done. Something. And we're not doing anything. But go ahead. I'll let you finish.
To every parent, teacher, and child who is hurting so badly, we are here for you, whatever you need.
What do you mean, whatever you need? What the hell is he talking about? We're here for you. What is he going to do? He's going to show up, say hi, say I'm sorry, take a picture. You met the Donald, and then he's gone.
Yeah, right.
And then there's going to be another one in a couple weeks. These people will be forgotten. How often do you think of the Vegas victims, Edward? It's old news.
It's old news.
Like I said, about as much as we think about how many people will die on the highways and byways of America today. It is the same amount of people. Okay, they get killed by guns. This is how they want it. This is why I rarely report on these things anymore. But like I said, this one with this kid, with all the red flags, it should have been, this shouldn't have happened.
Whatever we can do to ease your pain.
Great. Okay, what we need and what you can do to ease our pain and to prevent future pain is something. 8 out of 10 Americans agree that a teenager shouldn't have an AR-15. So why does a teenager...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say that nobody should have an AR-15, but especially an 18-year-old. He can't even drink yet.
Yeah, right.
And he's got a fucking AR-15.
Legally have an AR-15. Somewhere along the line, these guys forgot they work for us, not the NRA. Us. And this time, we're not going to allow you to...
No, they work for the NRA.
Your head in prayer for 2 weeks.
until you get.
And yes, you are going to allow it. And yes, listen, we've said this a million times on the show. If Sandy Hook didn't change anything, nothing is going. Right. Those were 5 and 6 year old boys and girls. Listen, the only thing, maybe if somebody went into a maternity ward and shot up the maternity ward with an AR-15, all the babies, you know, that's the only thing that I can think of that is worse than a bunch of fucking preschoolers or kindergartners. Well, what else you do? Either pregnant women or babies, maternity ward. Maternity ward, I think, would be worse. Yeah. You know, guy gets into a maternity ward. You know, can you imagine? I think it's going to happen. It's too easy for it not to happen because they keep going further and further, you know, depending on their resources. This Paddock guy in Vegas, he had money.
Yeah, right.
You know, sweet at the Mandalay Bay, all those guns, all that ammo, reconnaissance. You know, somebody else will come along who is just as disturbed and do the maternity ward thing. Mark my words. That's what's next. Because that's as far as you can go. And that's what these guys want to do, is they want to outdo each other if they have the resources again. So I think maternity ward's next, Edward. What do you think? Maybe I shouldn't put it in their heads, but I don't know.
All clear, and we move on to the next thing. We're going to make sure you do something this time. And if you agree with me, and maybe you don't, but if you do, here's one way you can help. Go to everytown.org. All the information you
need. Yeah, I went there. Everytown.org. Go right to your senators and congressmen there. Lickety split. Very easy. So do it. Everytown.org.
Okay.
Yeah, because until they realize that no matter how much money the NRA gives them, it's going to get them voted out of office, the shit ain't going to change. It ain't going
to
change.
It is there. And you can write to your representatives and call them. And if they don't listen, vote them out of office. Whatever you do, do something.
There you go. Give my own applause to Jimmy. Our crowd, Edward. This is our crowd. But no, Kimmel, he's great. I just love that he fucking breaks down and cries every time. Like, you know, after so many years, you should be able to develop a callous look. I cried when I was watching the fucking news report.
Yeah.
I sure as hell ain't going to cry here. I hear Dad's voice. You know, you're in front of people now. I don't cry. Shit's okay at home. You're in front of people now. Oh, yeah. Guns. Guns and killing and the love of killing and everything else. I tell you, I watched the documentary. I wanted to get to this a couple weeks ago, Edward, but it's a long clip. You remember the documentary Blackfish on CNN about the killer whales and all that?
Yeah,
pretty much,
very vaguely.
Well, that's what pretty much sunk SeaWorld was, documentary. Right. You know, and this one, it's called Trophy. It's about trophy hunters. It aired about a month ago.
Yeah, all right.
It doesn't seem to be having the same effect. I mean, mostly because there is so much more money to be made by all from trophy hunters, in Africa than SeaWorld could ever hope to make, you know, anywhere. But so what it is they followed a couple of guys, one of them being like a redneck hunter that his daddy made him hunt when he was young and this and that. One of them is just a rich guy who pays the canned hunting thing, drives right up to the fucking things and shoots them and thinks he's a hunter. One of them is a hunter who breeds these animals, provides them for hunting. That's an interesting interview when they ask him about how attached he gets to animals. And then you got the stupid ass run of the mill hunting dumb fucks who talk about how this they're killing is okay because of this and because of that. We're gonna get into it here. Clip starts out. We got the redneck who they followed mostly. He wanted to get his lion, you know, in Africa. Actually, he wanted to get the big five, in Africa, which are lions, leopards, elephants. Shit, the sable and the rhinoceros.
Sable? Well, I thought it would be what do you call it?
You know,
buffalo,
maybe
water.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Not the buffalo, sable, the buffalo. Yes, buffalo. And then the rarest one is the rhino. But it starts out with him teaching his son, who looks like he's about 8-9 years old. They're killing deer, you know, from their hide in their backyard.
Uh-huh.
Now the guy is a lamb farmer, and I have no problem with that. I mean, I personally don't eat babies, even though I eat meat. You know, I don't get into babies, man. I stay away from all the baby shit. Veal, which is one of my favorites. I stopped eating veal, stopped eating lamb chops. Those are my two. Yeah, so two of my favorites.
Gonna say, I used to love lamb chops.
Oh God, yes. That is the most unique tasting meat.
See, the only problem with lamb is you gotta eat it young because you can't eat it when it gets old.
Oh,
it's terrible.
I know. It's just. The whole baby thing I can't get past. But he's a farmer, and he sells it to the grocery stores. Now, see, if you're killing animals and you're part of the industry and you're going to the grocery stores where we buy them, I don't have too much of a problem with that. I mean, because that backs up my theory of the rest of the people don't need to go out and hunt for their food because you got guys like him who stock the stores.
Well,
you know, okay,
but that presupposes that the people who are quote-unquote saying they need can afford. You know,
A
$1 bullet feeds your family for a month.
That's fine. If you're in that, I'm talking about the drunken fucks that live in the suburbs with two SUVs
from October
to November.
That's a distinction. That is a distinction. If your family's.
You have to hunt, fine. American
times.
Indians? I love Indians.
Well, it's not just necessarily American Indians. I mean, say you lead a very simple. Well, no, that's a good example. But I mean, say you lead a very simple existence.
Like Kaczynski out in the fucking, I mean, aside from the fact that he was a Unabomber. He's out in the, and he had to kill rabbits and deer and stuff to survive because he didn't go to the grocery store. He didn't, you know, that is different.
Yeah, subsistence,
okay? Different.
Yeah.
All right, so now check out these people and we'll break this down here.
Let's just be real quiet because there's a lot of wham today.
We'll probably get a big one.
Are you ready to shoot a big one? Well, we're going to try.
And I'll tell you $1 million, there are no kids that get into hunting and killing unless their parents get them into it. Kids are pure souls. They're not racist. They're not, vengeful. They are pure souls until you start filling them with that shit. There are no kids that come out of the womb wanting to kill things. Okay, they have to be talked into it, convinced why it's noble and biblical. And daddy does it. That's the biggest one.
No,
daddy does it.
Sure.
Granddaddy does it. And that's what happens.
Okay, just get comfortable and get ready. Take your time.
Yeah, and he's got a feeder out in his backyard, so he draws them in there.
Yeah, so no.
Oh, that gets worse in Africa. This guy's
I'm sure. I'm like, okay, you know, fine. Sport. No, I would never be a sport hunter.
This guy.
I would love to go on photo safaris and shit like that.
Yeah,
oh,
that's great.
Fantastic.
And guess what? That raises more money than any kind of killing and all this that they, because let me tell you something about hunters like this guy, okay? They talk about conservation. They talk about disease. They talk, listen, that masks the real reason, which is they love to kill things. That is the primary motivation. They get a charge out of it. Okay, you will hear this guy when he kills some of these animals. Just listen.
Put him down, son.
You put him down, son. It's something to laugh about, right? This sounds really spiritual, right? As he giggles his ass off while his little kid just murdered an animal for no reason.
Oh, he's getting up, Dad.
He's not going anywhere, don't worry.
Yes. Yes.
Are your hands shaking? All right, let's go. Good job, buddy. Look at the horns on this guy. Woo, look at that. Well, it's a textbook shot, Jasper.
Smile.
Jasper, and they're taking pictures and everything, and look at that, how they celebrate over this thing. Look at his horns, like they love him or something. This guy gets even sicker later. I'll save my commentary that I'm going to make.
First trophy back. As they say, that's history. No more dough and spike culling for you. You're on to the big trophies.
Well, there's a big industry now.
Okay, now here's the South African guy that used to be a cattle herder, and now he breeds animals to be hunted, pretty much.
Right.
You know, he breeds them.
Country, not just the crocodiles, the lions, the sables, the buffalo, everything has been bred for a purpose on the end of the day. So, yeah, sure, some of them will be hunted. We are, as humans, going to eat it, or we're going to use the skin. And then that's the cycle of life.
Okay, no. Let me tell you something, buddy. The cycle of life is not breeding canned hunting animals for this, or even if it's not canned hunting, okay? Because that is an unnatural death. Especially when you lead these people up with high-powered weapons in a vehicle, they don't even track anything or nothing. Okay, so that is not the cycle of life. And an animal to be bred to be killed is not part of the cycle of life either. If you catch it and kill it, then bully for you. That's the cycle of life. How about if the playing field is even as well? They don't even know they're being hunted. Plus, you got superior weaponry and a superior brain.
I mean, I don't see actually how it qualifies as hunting if you drive up next to it and shoot it.
Yeah, no, this guy, he does both. He does, and he also goes, he leads these guys on like 2-3 day ones where they walk and they track.
Okay,
they still have this weapon at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you can't stop no matter what weapons you have as an animal unless you fucking dodge the bullets.
They are still wild animals. Even if they've been kept in captivity like this, they will kill you in an instant and eat you up.
Yeah, so what? They will kill you in an instant and eat you up. That's what they do, you know? And you're keeping them captive. See, he keeps them in cages until it's time to hunt them. And then he has his guys put him out there. Then he leads his customers out there to kill him.
Let me take a wild stab. I haven't seen this. I'm going to take a wild fucking stab at this. He radio collars them so they can track him with the radio collar when he lets them go?
No radio collars.
I thought for sure.
No, but you'll hear how, kind of like the feeder with the guy in his backyard.
Yeah.
You'll hear.
I don't know, my little granddaughter says. I don't know why my grandma wants to shoot a zebra.
Okay, now this is at the Las Vegas convention where they all get together, they buy and pick out their animals. They want to go to Africa and kill hundreds of millions of dollars. Millions of dollars being transacted here. This woman, she's like, yeah, my granddaughter doesn't know why grandma wants to go kill a zebra. And guess what? She doesn't even care. You see, the granddaughter's like, grandma, why would you want to go kill a beautiful zebra? She doesn't give a fuck. She thinks it's funny. She thinks it's funny that her granddaughter thinks about her like that.
So I don't know. I'm losing face with my 3-year-old little granddaughter.
Oh, I'm losing face with my 3-year-old granddaughter. Isn't that great? Life is so great. As long as I can kill my animal, who cares how my granddaughter thinks about me and my inner core?
Because I'm going to go shoot a zebra.
And crocodiles are really mean. So I don't feel bad about killing one of them.
Crocodiles are really mean, so I don't care about killing them. Mean.
They made fun of her in high school.
Yeah, what the fuck does she mean? Mean. Crocodiles pretty much sit there and leave you alone, except for the 2 times a year they need to eat. Then they come and kill you, eat, and then go back to leaving. They want to be left alone. What do you mean they're mean? Why, because they can beat your fucking ass and kill you? Every animal's mean compared to you. Can you believe this statement? Crocodiles are mean, so I don't care about killing them. Okay, so what animals are nice? Because obviously there are nice animals and there are mean animals in this dumb fuck's mind. I mean, who's nice that shouldn't be killed?
Right.
You stupid fucking
obviously
bitch.
It's not zebras who just eat grass.
No, this is a different woman.
Oh.
Different woman.
Besides that, I want a pair of boots. And a purse. And a wallet.
And there is the motivation. Besides, she makes it like it's just down by the wayside. And besides, I want a purse and boots and a belt. And that's why she's doing it. The thrill of the kill, plus all the accessories this vapid bitch gets.
You stupid fucking cunt. The Safari Club convention is the ultimate meat market for exotic species. And one of the prime attractions is to get a big 5 grand slam. And so you shoot one of each of the following species: buffalo, which would cost you about
$8,000,
leopards for about $20,000.
Buffalo's the cheapest, then leopards.
Elephants for $45,000, lions for $50,000, and the most expensive, because it's the rarest, the rhino for $350,000.
Yeah, and you know what? The black rhino, they have conserved right out of existence, man. It's gone. The African black rhino is now extinct. You know? So, this whole conservation thing, again, it's horseshit. Because if they were worried about conservation, they'd be like, oh, okay, well, we got to stop killing this animal because it's almost gone. We're about conservation.
Yeah, right.
We're about the healthiest animals surviving, and we just kill the old and the sick and provide meat for the villagers. Like, I'm sure they care about the villagers in Botswana. That's why they pay all that money to go to Africa, because they care about the economy of Botswana and all the villagers, right? Yeah, right.
So there's all this sort of stuff that encourages this collecting, this obsessiveness for more and more and more, and this status is applied to the individual hunter who achieves those ends.
Hunter's remorse. It's not been something I've experienced recently.
Okay, so he says hunter's remorse is not something he's experienced recently, which means he experienced it. You just get callous over the shit.
Right.
You turn to stone, kind of like a serial killer who maybe feels bad about his first victim, but after a couple, I don't feel so bad anymore. This is the shit I need to fucking do. This is what I enjoy.
But as a child, I certainly remember it. When I was a little boy, I remember I had a BB gun. I can vividly remember my mother telling me, "You can go shoot birds, but don't shoot a red bird."
Oh, come on!
His mother told him he could shoot birds, but don't shoot a red bird?
Yeah.
So what did I do? I went and shot a red bird.
Of course, the exact opposite his mama told him not to do, the dumb little redneck goes and does.
And I can still remember holding that bird in my hands and looking at its beak and just seeing how beautiful it was and how it was made.
Okay, now you don't think this sounds like a serial killer? After I killed it, I held it in my hands and I looked at its beak and its features and how beautiful it was. I love my brother here, but I think if I killed him, I think I'd love him more. I would show my love more for him if I left him alive. You know, I don't know. Killing my brother, even though he's a great guy and he's handsome and beautiful and I would hold his head in my hands, I killed him. I can love him more by leaving him alive. Right, Edward?
I would think so.
As trophy hunters feel the same way. We just want that experience to go and hunt that animal one time.
Oh, now wait a second. One time, because that would go against the whole conservation. If you just, there's actually two prongs to that. Number one, if you just want to hunt them one time, then you're not really doing anything for any economy, really, in the general scheme of things. But if your reason is one time, that means you're a collector. That means that the most important thing to you is just getting your one, not the overall, all this bullshit, conservation, economy, and all that shit. I mean, am I missing something here?
No, that one?
That
would be about right.
I just want my one?
Yeah.
That sounds like you just want your trophy for your trophy room.
Just your trophy, man.
The rhino horn belief has been around for millions of years.
Oh, listen to this about the rhino.
Oh, with the horns.
I didn't know this. Listen.
Okay. Unfortunately, there are more people that believe in rhino horn than there are Christians on this earth.
More people believe that a rhino horn has magic than there are Christians on this earth. You just think about that for a second.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the number is staggering, but I could see the possibility because, Asia and all that. But, you know. The number,
despite no evidence, well, just like Christians, despite
no, what I'm saying is, when people say literally, if there literally weren't that many, it'd be impossible, but there are, so it's possible.
Yeah. And listen to how much one of these things costs.
It's very difficult. You're going to go and tell 600 million Christians or whatever that God doesn't exist.
Yeah, he makes a great point here. No matter how stupid anybody is, especially if there's enough of them, you ain't convinced.
By the same token, you're not going to tell people rhino horn doesn't work.
This horn weighs about 4 kilos. In Vietnam, on the black market, the retail value of this horn would be about $250,000.
Yeah, but around 10 pounds.
Yeah, right.
$250,000. $250,000. He just says right here, listen to what he says, it's worth more than.
Is more expensive than gold or heroin.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's fucking $25,000.
More expensive than gold or heroin. I had no fucking clue. There were this many. I know. Wait. I know you're about to think I'm about to say I had no clue that these things were worth this much. I had no clue that there were this many dumb fucks on this planet
who have $25,000 a pound to pay for this shit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they buy it and chunk it off, sell it in little bits. Here's your little magic cure for your little.
Oh yeah, I suppose
your little starving son.
Yeah, that's how they cut hair when they grind it to dust, and then it's smaller and it's bigger, and it yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all you need is a little bit for the magic to
and
work.
Plus, they can cut
for
it.
The
with,
magic. The
they,
magic.
Plus, they can cut it with ashes from the campfire.
Yeah, that too.
From the campfire.
Instead of using anesthetol like coke dealers do, they use regular ash.
All this stalking, planning, and then finding that the animal is coming. And then the animal's there.
And then you get to kill it.
And then you pull the trigger. And then boom, you got him. And then all of that anticipation changes into a different emotion of joy and relief and excitement and anticipation. Because you want to go over to him and see what does he look like? What does he feel like? Where did he fall?
You see that? You see that? That's like a serial killer. What does he feel like? I want to stroke her hair. I want to admire the intricacies of the details of her body after I kill her.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
This sounds just like Ted Bundy in interviews.
The hunters' accounts of what they're doing makes me sick to my stomach sometimes about finding this amazing bull elephant and putting a bullet in an animal's head. And that gives them a rush of excitement.
A rush of excitement. And they love it. And they're no more in love with that animal after they put a bullet in its head than ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, truthfully, yeah, I never thought about trophy hunting, big game trophy hunting.
Well, what is
like
serial
killing?
Yeah, you remember that? They did it because you went to the same high school as me. Did they have you read The Most Dangerous Game in English class?
No.
It was about the guy who, he had like an island, and he let like these degenerates, like convicts or whatever, on the island, and he hunted them.
Like the Ice-T
the most
movie.
Because he says, man is more, even though they don't have the weapons of like lions or leopards, or they're smarter. So that is the most dangerous game, and he hunted people.
Yeah,
they made that movie.
They could turn it on you. And,
made that movie with like, I think, Jean-Claude Van Damme, where he was on the island and they tried to kill his... Based off that.
Now, they cloak that in money, conservation, helping people.
But what has happened in the last 10 or 15 years has been a growing segment of the hunting demographic, which are referred to as the shooters. And the shooters may have to spend as much money as it takes to get a 3-week permit. But if they can kill everything in the first 2 days, they'll do it and they'll fly home. It's that mentality.
Now, where's the fun in that? I thought hunting, you track an animal, you spend days, if not weeks, especially like leopards. They're hard to track.
I think he was saying like those are shooters as opposed to hunters.
Right.
A real hunter would stay and keep hunting.
Right. That's what he is saying.
Mentality that really fed the birth of the canned hunting industry.
I don't even see how you get any satisfaction out of canned hunting. It's like playing a video game and using cheat codes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How do you get any satisfaction out of, you're going to hear the, let me wait for the canned hunting.
Basically, you've gone shopping at some import-export place, and you've got your rug, you've got your mantelpiece. But it's not sport. It's just killing.
Is that the one?
Yeah. Okay, now here's this fucking piece of shit who bought an alligator, I guess, at the Vegas place. Now, he comes up. There is a pool, about maybe 50 square feet full of alligators with different colors on them. He spots his blue one. That's his. That's the one he paid for. So what they do is the three local Africans come out with rope. One throws a lasso around the gator's neck. One throws one around his tail. The other one throws one around one of his arms. They pull and drag the fucking thing to the shore, and this hunter walks up and blasts it in the fucking head. Listen to this.
Yeah, I'll shoot it with this one. Let me put my beer down, not drop it.
Let me put my beer down. Do you hear that? They drove him to the pool. He's drunk. He's got five rifles for whatever reason. He's going to pick the perfect one as they drag his gator, who is now bound by the tail, by the head, can't move. He walks right up to it and shoots it in the head. And so, this guy calls himself a hunter.
That's just a fucking executioner.
He calls himself a hunter.
It's just waiting for us to get close. Oh, it's moving its
Need
eyes.
One chance.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, mother.
Oh, yeah, motherfucker. He feels like a big man. There is no skill or anything involved in this. All he did was throw down cash, get driven to a gator, and shoot him in the head drunk. And this guy thinks he's a hunter. He's got a big trophy room and everything.
Hunter.
Yeah, hunter. Right. He hunted that thing. Look up the definition of the word hunt.
I'm guaranteeing you. You don't even have to. You're not going to be hearing or seeing anything that describes this.
You don't have to. They're all giggling.
Destroyed.
Now, listen how spiritual, again, this is. They're giggling like little kids after they kill something.
They fix it up. They'll fix it. That's what taxidermists do. That's where you pay.
Yeah, the idiot didn't even shoot it like in the jugular or whatever. He shot it right in the fucking head.
I'm done for the day. It's party time, boy.
Oh, party time.
I was in the cab.
He's done for the day. He gets driven up drunk in a vehicle, shoots a gator out of a pool that's roped off and tied up, hog-tied, and he's done for the day, man. Fucking, he's the best hunter.
Hunting's hard work, man.
People like this.
You are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on Earth. You are not even human fucking beings.
And I hope an alien race comes here and does this to you and your family, you stupid fucking dickhead.
Industry for like 10-12 years, and because we had a lot of game in the area, I had some other outfitters those years which always contact me and say, please Crystal, can I bring a client over, would like to come and hunt, and I say, okay, fine, bring the clients. And then I start meeting overseas clients, and it looked to me like it can become a good business.
Okay, so this guy who talks about all the, again, the spirituality and blah, blah, it's all about being a good business. That's what this boils down to for the other side of the people, all right? Not the hunters, the ones on the other side. They sit there, this guy talked about the cycle of life before, you know. It's a good business, that's it.
So what we offer our clients is there's the lodge, there's a jacuzzi, and in the hunting area, you can drive around, try and spot the animals.
They have gourmet meals, a jacuzzi. They live like kings out there. Yeah, these are real hunters. Now listen to what they do when they get them out in the field.
And you try and get the client up to a point where he can have a clear, good shot at that animal.
Good shot, buddy.
And normally in the middle of the day, when it's really hot, we bring the clients into the blind area where they can sit down for the rest of the afternoon. So
So they got like this nice little half above ground, half underground thing.
Yeah, blind.
With a little slot. Yeah. I'm explaining it to people who don't know. And listen to how they get the animals to come to the blind.
Make it really comfortable. The client can stand straight up and be able to shoot through that slot over there. It's maybe like 25 yards. We will put some feeders out here as well so that the animals can only come into this certain areas where there's water for drinking.
Okay, so that's the only place these enclosed animals can go for food or water. And it's 25 yards within this fucking blind as these fat fucking drunken pigs sit there in air conditioning with their jacuzzis and everything else. And as soon as one comes up, because it's either dehydrate or take the chance, they shoot them.
Then we clear out around all those water points where the blinds are, because you would like to see the
And this is the cycle of life to this guy. Remember, Edward, this is the cycle. This is how life works. You know, you trap a being, you make it so it can only go into one spot to eat or fucking drink or die or get shot. That's the cycle of life to this idiot.
When they come in, and that makes it an exciting hunt, and it makes it a natural environment.
An exciting hunt? You're sitting there on your ass in the lap of luxury until something is forced to come up in front of you and you shoot it. And you go sit back down and drink some more. Go to jacuzzi. This is an exciting hunt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't see how it even qualifies as hunting.
Why don't you kill? You're just wasting petrol. Yeah, it's no photo safari.
Okay, now he comes up on a group of photo safari people who don't kill anything, who provide much more money to the local economy by their tourism, and he starts making fun of them, how they should be killing things. Listen to this.
You got the wrong guide. You should get a guide which kills things. Sorry. Just keep in mind, we don't feed no Americans if they don't shoot something.
Isn't he funny, Edward? Isn't he funny? I mean, listen to that sick goddamn sense of humor over killing for fun. He has this sense of humor on top of it. I don't understand, man. I just don't understand.
No, that I don't. I'm all for people going out and if they were gonna, you know, I kill it to eat it, fine. All this.
You know what's more confusing? No. You know what's more confusing? What he says here in a minute.
It's a beautiful animal. I got one of those last year.
Oh, wait. Back to the drunken fucking canned hunter here who thinks he's the toughest guy on earth. I'd love to beat the fuck out of this prick. 5 minutes alone. I don't need a gun. Why don't you go hand to hand with a fucking lion, you pussy?
I still have a warthog and a baboon and a bush buck. A bush pig, a caracal, so the list is still...
A baboon? I see. I don't know about how that helps anyone's economy anything by killing baboons. You know? That's not conservation. That's not helping the local anything. That's not anything. Yeah, They're not even on the list.
I don't think baboons are high in the menu.
No,
the
he just likes murdering things for fun.
Big, and we have the rest of this day and two more days to hunt. So we'll try to do our best to get the most on the list, but it's not as easy. It seems like once we're going for them, they're real skittish.
Oh, you think? Gee, it's confusing, Edward. When you're going to kill something, they get skittish. I don't know. What the hell's going on? This guy just sounds like a dumb fuck all around. I don't care how he made his money.
Let's add another one to the list. Let's add that bitch to the list.
Yeah, listen to how spiritual that guy is. Add that bitch to the list that he just killed, right? That sounds so in touch with Earth and, you know, the hunting bullshit you always hear, right? Right?
Do you ever get attached to a lion?
Okay, now here's the guy, same guy, who was making fun of the touring people. You got to kill things. Do you ever get attached to a lion? The reporter asks him.
Hard to release it for a hunt. Is there some animal like that that you're like, this one I...
All animals. Doesn't matter what animal it is. If you love animals, you'll get attached to them. You go out there every day.
Okay, first, I don't understand how you can say that you love animals when your primary business is to breed them to be killed. How is that showing love? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Edward, I'm going to send you out that front door, and a whole bunch of people that pay me a lot of money are going to kill you, man. Okay, but I love you. Yeah. Would you think I loved you? Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be tough.
I wouldn't blame you if you didn't.
Hey, you see this animal, you're feeding him. The buffalo, your sable, of course. But there will be a time when you have to let go. Cut.
Okay, he just said cut. He is breaking down now and crying worse than Jimmy Kimmel. Okay? Okay, but this is the cycle of life. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Deep down in the back of their fucking minds, they know it's wrong or they wouldn't be crying.
Yeah.
Let me cut this. That is true. These animals can't let go.
You can't let go. You can't let go. I wonder how many animals he became attached to that he says he loved and then had killed, sent off to get killed. I could just see my two cats here. I love you so much, and I'm going to give them to somebody, and they're going to be put out into a canned area and killed. But I love them.
You know, you will be playing with them, but they become like a friend.
Like a friend. And you send them off to be butchered. You hear this? This is what I'm talking about, the whole serial killer angle amongst all these guys. No matter what part of the business they're in, they profess their love and attachment and connection to these animals. And the biggest connection of all is to murder them. For nothing more than a trophy in your room, in your house, or to make money. Okay, we're back to our redneck. He just shot a teenage elephant. An elephant that is barely 6 feet tall. The big ones are over 10 feet tall or whatever. They feed the villages and the money.
Yeah.
This motherfucker just shot a little teenage elephant. Now listen to this.
Yeah!
Yeah! Listen how much love there is in that. Yeah, Edward!
You see that? Congratulations.
Congratulations. More giggling.
I didn't run it away.
Yeah.
He's running away. He's running away, and I killed him. He sounds like a cop.
Oh, mercy.
Now, listen to this poor thing struggling for its last breath in front of these fuckers as they giggle. Hear that? And they're standing over this fucking thing giggling, man. I'm about to do it, Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not doing it. Fuck it.
I was wondering if that one was going to do it or not.
Not doing it.
Maybe if you come to the side.
Where?
To the chest.
Yeah, so they, as they're sitting there watching this thing struggle and listening to it, the guy goes, why don't you finish it off, put one in the chest there. Yeah, right, yeah. You know, because the guy's not initiating anything. He's just standing there going, so there's another one. And he laughs, and he hear that? You hear that? Oh, did you hear that?
Yep.
No. After the laugh, he said, cigarette? Listen.
Cigarette.
Cigarette. I would love to decapitate this motherfucker.
This is my birthday present, I guess. They've listed the lions.
Oh, okay. Now, after he killed this elephant, you know, which was deemed too small, by the way, by the local villagers to mean anything. They took some of the meat to eat, but they're like, you know, this was a waste. You shouldn't have killed this thing. It could have gotten a lot bigger. You're being counterproductive here. Even though we can eat today, you're being counterproductive here. So now he gets the information that lions are going to be listed as endangered. And instead of thinking to himself, lions are endangered. I'm a hunter about conservation. Maybe I shouldn't hunt lions anymore. No, now there's urgency in this motherfucker's voice to go kill one of the endangered ones before they're all gone. Uh-huh. That's conservation, right?
Or I got to make sure I get in there and get it now before they declare it an endangered species and it's illegal.
Exactly what he does.
Threatened, and all lions is threatened, and then another species is endangered. So effectively, lion hunting is...
All lions is threatened. Dude, he doesn't sound like he graduated high school.
Now, when this all goes into effect, I don't know. We're just a few months out, so maybe we're okay, maybe we're not. Maybe we have to go to a different country, maybe the whole trip's ruined, I don't know.
Maybe you shouldn't shoot things that are about to be extinct because of people like you?
So I think the thing that makes me the maddest is this service director, Dan Ash, says that, and I quote, that it's a privilege, not a right, for us to bring back these trophies from other countries.
Okay, let me stop right there. First of all, the guy's right. It is a privilege to let foreign nationals come over and kill these things and take them back to their country. See, an idiot like this, he's just anti every government. Everyone's a bureaucrat.
It's his right.
It's his right to go to a foreign land where he's not a citizen, disobey their laws, and do whatever he wants. That's his right. I mean, who the hell is this guy who lives there and was appointed by the government? Who is he to say anything? Yeah. That's my right.
You know, I don't think he was elected by anybody. I think he's an appointment.
It doesn't matter. He was appointed by the person that the people elected. Dickhead.
A bureaucrat, and he has no right to tell me what my rights are.
Oh, yes, he does. In his country, he certainly does. Does Donald Trump have the right to tell people what foreigners' rights are when they come in?
Yeah.
You know, it's seeming like he does. I'll tell you that. You know, our government certainly does.
And what a privilege of being a U.S. citizen is. I'm going to be the first hunter.
They don't care about what a privilege is to be a U.S. citizen or any of that red, white, and blue bullshit. They live in Africa, stupid ass.
There for the hunting season. And we planned it that way. So I'm going as early as I can in this coming year. But that might not be early enough.
Yeah, it's not murder if it's an animal.
Oh, so now these guys are confronted in the street by local citizens calling them a murder. He goes, it's not murder if it's an animal. It's not murder if it's an animal. Well, that depends on the context and why you're killing it. It's not murder if you have to eat it, but it's murder if you're doing it for fun.
Did you murder a chicken that you had for lunch?
Hey, you're not eating your elephant for lunch. You killed it for fun. Well, a cigarette? You're not eating it for lunch, you hypocritical stupid fuck.
Eat meat, sweetheart.
Oh, good.
I'm vegan.
Okay.
I don't eat meat.
Okay.
Good, and he has no answer for her. The vegans, they have no answer for
her. Have regards for all species and all living, breathing things.
Shame on you!
The reality of hunting is that, yes, there are a few places where hunting does make a difference. But in many areas, the economics don't add up. They're not generating enough money. The land is being lost, especially in the most corrupt countries. We've seen that happen over and over in many parts of Africa where they go out and say everything's fine, No, it's not fine.
See?
I've been a hunter my whole life. They say I fell out of the hunting vehicle when I was 2 or 3 years old.
He fell out of the hunting vehicle, Edward. The hunting vehicle. Now listen to how he fell out of the vehicle.
And, you know, I lost my dad a few years ago, and he was a hunter. At the time, I was a little angry with him, the way he would treat me, that he would do funny things to me to make me learn to hunt. We'd be in a pickup, and whether it was a rabbit or a deer, summer or winter, we'd be driving along, and he would see some game, and all he would do is turn the engine off and sit there and not say a word. And I would have to find the animal and get out of the vehicle and go take a shot.
That's child abuse. That's fucking child abuse.
Yeah.
He recalls that. He doesn't recall on this fondly you hear in his voice.
Yeah.
This is child abuse, man. He wouldn't say a word. He'd just go out and shoot the fucking thing. You see? And he's doing the same thing to his son. You heard at the beginning of the clip.
Yeah.
Same thing. You don't think daddy orders you to go out there and be a man and all that shit? I'm sure if his kid Jasper wanted to be a ballet dancer, it would go over really well with this guy.
But no, he challenged me. My dad challenged me in many ways. That was just one way. And
he considers that a challenge. That's a challenge. Even though he said when he was a kid, he felt remorse. That he thought that these were mean and weird things to do to a kid. But now, you know, he justifies it by he challenged me. And, of course, he's got to carry it on with his son.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that would invalidate his father. You see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there, I think, is where he bags his lion right here. Okay, now he's over the corpse and he's crying his eyes out. He's crying. Now, yeah. Do you think, I don't know. You tell me if you think after this clip these are tears of joy or tears of remorse.
All right.
You don't want those to get a hold of you. I promise you that.
That's his claws he's holding up. Don't want those to get a hold of you. He's inspecting the whole body. You know, he's looking at the claws. He's looking at the tail. He's touching his ears. He, you know, again, like Ed Gein.
Those teeth are just absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be magnificent for long because you just killed the thing, so the teeth are going to rot along with the rest of the body. If it's so magnificent, why did you kill it?
What a mind. Look at that red and black. Black on his ears. Green eyes.
I bet that stupid fuck doesn't even know why lions have black on the back of their ears. Do you know why, Edward? Lions have the back of their ears are black?
Yeah, so when
why?
Cubs are following them, they can see where mom is in the tall grass. Well, that's the same color as the lion.
But also as just hunting, when they're moving into position.
Well, yeah, and then
they
the adults can too.
The adults too. It's like a signal, like here I am. But see, the people, the animals in front of them cannot see the black.
It's like when they have police written on the back of their jacket.
Not the front.
I made the decision several months ago that I was coming to hunt lion, and this is my trophy, and there's not any bureaucrat that can take it away from me.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Now, that guy's
a bureaucrat.
Good hunter, right? Yeah, bureaucrats are the enemy, you know? What do you think of that guy, Edward?
Yeah.
I love the guy crying in the middle, because that spoke volumes. They bury these feelings. They know it's wrong, right. Or they wouldn't cry.
True.
They wouldn't cry. They try and act like these are tears of now this guy try and act like it was tears of joy, but you heard from the other guy, you can't let go. Cut the camera. You can't let go. Yeah. My friend. And he's crying for money.
Yeah.
Huh? For fun.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Animals in the God. You know who are the luckiest animals on this earth, Edward? Ones who live in places that are untouched by man, like on the side of a cliff in Antarctica or something. You know, some of those birds or the penguins or whatever. They're all safe because nobody wants to go there to fucking get them. But, yeah, animals. Do you hear the story about this stupid bitch that tried to board a flight with an emotional support hamster?
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Listen.
An emotional support hamster?
I believe in emotional support animals, but listen, if you're going to be flying, if you're going to choose an emotional support animal, choose a dog or a cat. It makes everything so simple. The one lady last month had a peacock on her fucking shoulder. She tried to board a flight, and they're like, you can't come on here with a peacock. This is my emotional support animal. That fucking peacock in his tail, like 9 feet long. You're going to bring that on a goddamn plane? Where's it gonna shit? It's gonna shit whenever it wants to. An emotional support. You didn't see that story about the emotional support peacock?
No.
The lady was rocking through the airport with her luggage thing with the peacock on her shoulder. She wanted to fly. Anyway, a hamster, not as bad, very small, but it is considered a rodent, and you cannot.
It is a rodent.
I know it is. Well, I mean, yeah, actually, I shouldn't say considered. It is a rodent, but they can't bring rodents on the plane, I guess. But Spirit Airlines told her she could bring it, so she got to the airport with her emotional support hamster. They said, "You know what? I'm sorry that you were told you could bring it. You can't bring it." And she says one of them suggested that she flush it down the toilet. And she did.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Okay. Hold on.
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
I'm not wasting it. This is true.
I thought for sure your outrage was going to be against the person who suggested that she flush it.
No. First of all, Spirit denies they ever suggested that. I don't know if I believe that or not, but even if they did. Okay, I'm at the airport. You're at the airport.
Well, that's what I mean. That's I thought with, I was just with your little. Gonna go.
I'm at the airport with Archie, you know, in his carrier, and they say, "Listen, you can't bring Archie. Archie's my cat. You can't bring Archie on the flight. You know, why don't you just kill him?" And I go, "I got to make the flight. I kill Archie." Are you fucking kidding me? This chick is the dumbest fucking bitch on earth.
And this is her emotional support animal.
Yes. Kind of like the hunter, she supports it back by killing it.
College student when she tried to bring her pet hamster home with her for the holidays.
And she claims...
And by the way, she's Eastern European, and like I always say, those people are barbarous dumb fucks.
Got conflicting information from Spirit Airlines and ended up taking drastic action that killed her pet. Louis has moved to the video port to bring us this one.
Lori, she flushed her pet hamster down the toilet alive because she claims... That's what a rep from Spirit Airlines told her to do. So this happened.
I'd say, get fucked, you asshole. What do you mean? I'm going to flush you down the fucking toilet if someone said that to me.
Back in November, right before Thanksgiving, 21-year-old college student Belen Aldecosia was traveling from Baltimore to Fort Lauderdale and was set to undergo a medical procedure. So she was traveling with her emotional support dwarf hamster Pebbles, which she loved. She says when she booked the ticket, she told the reservation agent that she was traveling with Pebbles and that the agent said it was fine as long as she had the proper paperwork from the doctor that prescribed the emotional support animal. She says she even called twice to make sure. Well,
okay, now that Spirit's fuck up. If she called and then called twice and they gave her specific instructions, they should have accommodated her. I mean, okay, fine. Well, maybe the rodents, I don't know, let her go another day or help her in some way. They didn't help her at all.
She got to the airport. The ticket agent said she was given wrong information and that rodents were not allowed on the plane. They were able to book her on a later flight, but that still left her with a real situation. What to do with Pebbles the hamster? This is what she says the airline rep told her.
Okay, now here's her on a couple different videos on Twitter.
One of the representatives decided to start giving me little like tips on, oh, you should just leave her or flush her down the toilet or this or that.
I know to some people it's going to sound very brutal, and I agree it is brutal, but in the circumstances that I was in, I had no way of getting home.
Oh, you know, like, go fuck yourself. You could have taken a fucking cab ride. If they book you on a later flight, take a fucking 10-minute cab ride to the local pet store and go, hey, I'm going on a flight. You won't believe this situation. Explain them and give them the fucking hamster. You know, flushing it down the toilet in a fucking plane. Do you know what kind of chemicals are in that goddamn water? That thing probably suffered. It was like the Joker going into the vat of acid. The poor little thing.
In the flight, I had already gotten the flight switched over to a different time. I tried everything that I could.
Poor Pebbles. Well, Spirit Airlines denies their rep told her to do so. This afternoon, we got this response from the airline that reads, "We can say confidently that at no point did any of our agents suggest this guest, or any other for that matter, should flush or otherwise injure an animal. Our reservation representative, unfortunately, did misinform the guest that a hamster was permitted to fly as an emotional support animal."
See, now right there, that's where it should have stopped. Right there. If they told you, and we know they told you, and you're here, and now you're fucked, we got to unfuck you.
very reminiscent of another recent emotional support animal incident, a woman claiming she...
But at the same time, Edward, they say they didn't tell her to do that, that she just did it on her own.
Well, okay.
So,
yeah.
And you know what? I tend to believe Spirit Airlines in this case.
She was not allowed to bring her pet peacock with her.
Yeah, see, the peacock.
On an airline flight, she left with that peacock and did not harm the animal.
The tail and the wings, all that of a peacock is like 10 feet long. Can't bring a peacock on a plane.
I guess took it back home. But back to Al Nicosia, she wrote a complaint email to Spirit Airlines, who then offered her an apology and a free travel voucher, which she denied. She
should offer her a hamster.
Her lawyer has reached out to us and says they're not filing a lawsuit yet, but that she wants to get her story out there so that other people out there traveling with emotional support animals could avoid similar.
Listen, they will avoid it because they're not dumb fucks
like
you.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to avoid it except for her.
And guess what else? Even if I had a medical procedure, reschedule it if it comes down to killing you, flushing them down the toilet, you fucking piece of shit. Oh, what's the matter with her? Same thing that's the matter with this woman. A woman with an autistic child is just so sick of the autism. Went online and thought it was a good idea to fucking put bleach in her water because that's going to cure it. It's going to cure her. Oh, it's a cure. No, Edward, not only does it cure autism, it cures AIDS, cures cancer, cures all these kinds of things. And nobody in the medical field
drinking bleach.
Yeah, knows about this. This woman found it on the internet, gave it to her daughter.
Drinking bleach.
Listen.
When it comes to parents and looking for solutions,
parents reach out for whatever they can to help their child.
Sherry Quinn, founder and president of the Applied Behavior Center for Autism, has seen it all.
Taking things into their own hands is something that many parents have done.
And you know what? This autism thing, everybody thinks that vaccines cause autism, this cures autism, Listen, autism is like cancer. It's nothing causes it. It's not curable. It just happens. Deal with it. I know that's a very callous answer, but when I say deal with it, I mean you have to deal with it. You can't blame it on all these other things and somehow either try and find some miracle cure or blame somebody else. It just happens.
According to a police report, a mother on Indy's Southwest Side was putting drops of hydrochloric acid and water purifying solution in her child's drink, hoping the mixture would cure her of autism. The mother...
Hydrochloric acid. I learned in eighth grade what that can do to your insides.
Hopefully, she read about the solution online, which Quinn and other experts at the Behavior Center say is a dangerous place to be looking for supposed cures.
Some of them are...
I wonder how many people have died because of what people have read online in the last 25 years. Oh.
Harmful. Some of them are dangerous. They're definitely not FDA approved.
According to the report, the mother identified the mixture as the Miracle Mineral Solution. Look it up on
the Miracle Mineral Solution. Google that, everybody.
And you'll find a number of links touting the product as a cure-all for anything from cancer to autism.
And see, people like this should be put in fucking jail for this shit. The internet should not be somewhere where you can tell people to do. I know that it's up to... I don't know what to say. There are so many dumb people out there. You can't let these people fucking con them like this. You just can't. Yeah, no. I mean, Jesus Christ.
The whole censorship thing.
I know. And everybody says, oh, if you're stupid enough to look at those kids with the Tide Pods, if you're stupid enough to swallow Tide Pods, you deserve to die.
Wait, what with the Tide Pod?
Oh, come on. You didn't hear this story?
No.
All these teenagers are getting sick and dying because the internet challenged to take Tide Pods and eat them and see how long you can keep them in your mouth before you spit them out.
Oh, I see.
And then they die because of the residual effect. No, not swallow it. The residual effects keep going after you spit it out. You know, those are chemicals.
That's what I mean. You swallow some or some get absorbed.
They don't swallow the whole balls.
Right. But some get down. Yeah.
They've been killing teens all
over.
Those
things are designed to dissolve when they
get wet. You never go on the internet.
That's all over the place.
Trouble is, it's nothing but bleach, and there is no cure for autism.
I think it's really important to look at what's been researched and what's been proven to be effective.
Kelly Goudreau, the center's clinical director, says it's natural for parents to want to find a cure, and parents often come to them with home remedies. But before you do that, she says, ask yourself this. Is there any real evidence or research backing it up?
Or you can ask yourself, are you a dumb motherfucker?
Oh, check this out. You know what this shit is?
What?
Oh, my God. You're supposed to take a mix a 28% sodium chloride solution with an acid such as citrus juice, like orange juice.
Yeah, right. Okay. So it tastes good.
No, because the mixture, because the acid in the juice, reacts. Produces chlorine dioxide, a potent industrial bleach. Right. Not even just regular Clorox. This is a potent industrial bleach.
You know what? Thin that herd, man. That's what I say.
You start to ask those more probing questions, you find out that it was just something they read on Facebook, something they saw online.
And that can be dangerous. In this particular case, adding mixtures like bleach can be seriously harmful to a child.
No shit.
Bleach normally, so why would you give it to anyone else?
According to IMPD, the Department of Child Services has removed the child from the home and is currently investigating. In the newsroom, Nick McGill, Fox 59 News.
Can you believe bleach? And all you have to do is research the ingredients, even if it doesn't say bleach. You know, you're giving it to your child. Oh, boy. All right, let's get to Trump, Edward. I love this first part, man. You know what Trump wants to do with the, you know what the SNAP program is, right? It's food stamps. They just call it Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. Whatever. And you get, I think at most you can get like $200 a month, even if you're in the top tier. And you can't buy anything cooked. You can't buy like cigarettes. You know, you can't buy cat food, dog food, cat litter, nothing for pets. It's got to be pre-cooked food, basically. Well, the Trump administration wants to replace, say you get $100 in SNAP benefits a month.
Okay.
They want to take 50 of that and give you a box of what they think you should be eating. A governmental ration box. This is the proposal. I look at your face right now. I know, man, because you're older than me. You know, this blue apron type shit, which they're trying to mask it as. It's not even the same. What?
Yeah, well, that's what I was actually going to go for. They're trying to, like, make you think, like, ooh, you're getting blue apron like everybody else.
Now, remember, this is the party that wants to keep government out of everybody's lives. You know, keep that in mind. Even though the government is the one giving them the money for the food.
You should eat this.
But listen to this.
Rather than letting people on food stamps choose their own...
And the reason I had to get this off Watch It News is because nobody is reporting on this in the mainstream media.
Groceries, the Trump administration is proposing sending out more than 16.4 million boxes of basic food supplies every month as part of its new proposed federal budget and will force states to cover the cost of distribution. The 2019...
Do you hear that? Wait. Four states to cost the cover of distribution. But they don't even know how the states are going to pay for it. It's up to them.
But wouldn't that cost like, 5 million more times than typing in a code and putting more money on your card?
Well, not according to them. But, you know, okay, the real reason is because the shit that's going to be put in the box comes from farmers. White, middle class, rural... farmers. And whose base does that make up?
I did not consider
budget
this.
Summary for the Department of Agriculture says that the government wants to cut $200 billion in benefits over 10 years in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs.
Why do presidents make plans that stretch over 10 years when they can only possibly be in office for 8? I've always wondered that. We got a plan that all the way to 2020, their legacy to live on?
Yeah, they want it to survive.
Okay. According to the USDA, the items in the box will include items like long life milk, juice, grain.
Long life milk? I don't even drink regular milk, okay?
The packaging, aseptic packaging. It stays on shelves all the
time. Listen, everybody, milk
is a lot longer.
Milk is not that good for you. It's animal milk. It's for calves.
Yeah, right. If they sold human milk, that'd be different.
Yeah, it is not for humans, okay? Milk is. Listen, especially with all the shit they put in it now. I mean, homogenization did a little bit way back when, but now, especially with the steroids and everything else that's put in there, it's all fucked up.
Cereal, pasta, beans, peanut butter, canned fruit.
Peanut butter? You know how many people are allergic to peanuts, peanut butter? They're choosing what they put in there.
Right, exactly.
I mean, they want government to stay out of your lives. Again, I know the government's giving you money for the food, but that doesn't mean that you should eat food that you either don't like or could potentially make you sick.
vegetables, and canned meat or fish.
Canned meat or fish? Has anybody ever had canned fish?
Tuna, yeah, but canned meat?
Besides tuna.
Yeah, did you ever have Underwood deviled ham?
Canned shit.
Did you ever have Underwood deviled ham?
No, what
is it? It's not that great. No, it's not that great. It's not that great.
I don't know.
It's like, it's like ham that's a paste.
And plus, each family is different. Each set of kids, each set of adults eats differently. I'm not going to like what my next door neighbor likes,
yeah, I mean,
or someone across the country. Why put a set standard of this food you have to eat?
You get a SNAP card versus a SNAP box. What if you're vegan? What if you're, you said, allergic to peanut butter? What if the,
they said they're not funding the distribution. What is easier than putting cash on a card? The boxes, shipping, nothing from the federal government. No, that's up to the states. It's a great idea, but it's up to the states to pay for the shipping.
The USDA could not provide details of exactly how much of each food each person would receive.
Yeah, so there you go. Another stupid idea coming from nowhere. but they're going to save the country $100 billion over 10 years.
How?
I don't know. And you know what? This is just nothing more than an attack on the poor. Because the poor people, Edward, they have no voice. They have no power. They have no stature. They have no influence. They have nothing. So if you don't
there's no poor lobby.
If you don't give a shit about the poor, yeah, you can save a hell of a lot of money by cutting welfare programs. But, you know, I don't know. I happen to think we live in a society, and conservatives happen to think that we should live like animals. Take care of your friends, your families, your loved ones, your pack. Everyone else can fucking go along, and that's ridiculous. So, anyway. Stormy Daniels, Edward, she's still in the news. Stormy! Yeah. And now, Trump's lawyer is saying he paid Stormy out of his own pocket. You know he didn't get reimbursed by Trump. Yeah. He just did it out of the goodness of his heart. Yeah, because he loves Donald Trump.
From the president's lawyer, a stunning admission. Michael Cohen acknowledging in a statement that he used his own personal funds to facilitate a payment of $130,000 to adult film star Stormy Daniels, who's reported to have claimed a sexual encounter with Mr. Trump more than a decade ago.
And he doesn't say why either. Yeah. He's not saying this is hush money.
Because
she's a loyal Trump supporter.
And what's 130,000 amongst friends?
Yeah, she was a loyal Trump supporter 10 years before he ran.
Did the president know about the payment? Was it his money? Tonight, the White House isn't saying.
No, he didn't know anything. Wasn't my money. No.
Who's this Cohen guy?
Not my money.
Cohen insists.
He got me coffee. I don't even know him. My lawyer.
Neither the Trump Organization nor the Trump campaign was a party to the transaction, and neither reimbursed me for the payment. The statement notably does not address whether Donald Trump, his client, or anybody else made the payment or reimbursed Cohen. Daniels, in recent weeks, publicly...
Because lawyers always do that, right? They pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to hush people up for their clients. Lawyers want the money from the clients. They don't give their money for the clients. What are you people stupid?
Story about it.
Do you have a non-disclosure agreement?
Do I?
Now,
Stormy's a fucking idiot, dude. This is why I don't ever listen to porn stars talk. I fast forward through the dialogue and the stupid sets and all the acting, and just, I don't want to hear them talk, because if I hear them talk like her, I know she fucked Trump. I know she's an idiot. I don't want to jerk to her anymore. And she was one of my favorites. That takes a lot from my life. You understand me?
I see.
This is personally affecting me.
Strained, at least according to her manager, who tells the Associated Press Daniels believes she's free to tell her story after the president's lawyer told his.
Ah, yeah. See, she's saying now, because of the non-disclosure, he's talking about all these details. Now I can. She hasn't spoken yet. Huh. I think she's gonna.
Daniels' manager saying the adult film star believes Michael Cohen invalidated their non-disclosure agreement by publicly discussing a secret payment. Cohen's acknowledgement comes after a watchdog group filed a federal election complaint alleging the payment could qualify as an in-kind contribution.
Yeah, see, even though this guy is saying, oh, Trump knew nothing about it, which nobody believes, and he paid it out of his own pocket, still might be a violation. We'll see.
Violating campaign finance law if it was intended to keep Daniels quiet.
If Michael Cohen paid this settlement to try to keep a story out of the news in the closing days of the election, then it very well could be an illegal campaign contribution.
See?
And that perfectly teases.
Even though he said there's nothing to do. I mean, listen, you can sit there and say that to your stupid ass supporters who believe every word you say. You say that to prosecutors and be like, yeah, pull the other leg into place, jingle bells, you fucking asshole.
An investigation from either the Federal Election Commission or the Department of Justice.
The White House and Cohen have always denied Mr. Trump had any sexual encounter with Daniels. Tonight, no comment for the First Lady, who spent part of this Valentine's Day visiting
Oh, my God. I think Vampira hates Trump at this point.
Oh,
she hates him. She doesn't hold his hand.
She
doesn't travel with him.
She doesn't even ride in the
fucking car with him. She doesn't fucking look at him when they're above. And she like goes out of her way to go, and I will meet you there. I'll meet you.
Yesterday, when they were showing all that crap, I was just like, I wonder what's in her prenup. I wonder how much she gets.
Oh, I don't know. Well, she's got a child, so she's set for
That's
a
what
life.
I mean. Is she gonna get billions?
Yeah. She's set for life.
Well, you know she had to sign a prenup.
Well, of course. Yeah. Donald did that with Marla Maples. He said if he was married for her for 10 years, he'd have to pay her so much money, he divorced her 9.5 years in.
Yeah, right.
Children. Left unanswered tonight, why pay Stormy Daniels anything? Michael Cohen describes it as an act of loyalty, telling NBC News.
An act of loyalty. She just loves Trump so much, I'm going to give her $130,000.
No, his loyalty to Trump.
Yeah.
He just paid it in his behalf.
Oh, his
out of his own
loyalty.
Pocket. Yeah.
Oh.
In his own pocket, out of the kindness of his heart.
I thought he was saying Stormy's loyalty.
No. His loyalty. Out of loyalty. Yeah. I know the guy's innocent. Let me just pay this for him and make this go away.
You know,
they make this, make this made up shit go away.
My older brother and I'm loyal to you, but I can't give you 130.
That's what I'm saying. What's 130 grand between friends?
I can give you maybe $130.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Those allegations, just because something isn't true doesn't mean that it can't cause you harm or damage, adding, I will always protect.
Just because something isn't true doesn't mean it can't cause you
harm. I'm going to make this lie go away.
Yeah, well, what happened if it's not true? Then you defend yourself. You tell the truth.
A lie can still hurt you, so protect you from this lie.
Guess who knows that? Guess who knows the lie game the most?
Yeah, well,
Trump and his fucking lawyer.
Yeah. Mr. Trump.
Yeah. At the White House today, an abrupt change of plans. President Trump bound for Florida, boarding Marine One alone.
Oh, Melania's not with him. You know why, Edward? Because another affair has come to light.
Yeah.
Playmate of the year from, I think it was, I don't know what year.
I don't know what year.
Karen McDougal. I tell you what, she's fucking hot.
Yeah, she's Playmate of the Year, man.
Trump has these good picks. I'll give him that. Stormy,
that's why I think the Access Hollywood tape was right.
Oh, of course.
When you're a star, they let you do it.
Well, these chicks are a little higher stature, but, you know, Playmate of the Year.
But the stars hang with each other, man.
But this chick actually says that she fucked Trump because she liked him.
Oh, really?
Not for the money.
Not really?
First Lady was supposed to be with him. Instead, she left separately and met him at Air Force One. It comes as the president faces explosive new allegations about a 9-month affair with a Playboy playmate and new questions about...
Yeah, this one's 9 months, not a fucking one-night stand in a hotel. 9-month affair.
Whether she was paid to stay silent days before the presidential election. The New Yorker reports Mr. Trump met the woman, Karen McDougal...
And as far as I'm concerned, they wasted $130 on Stormy and $150 on her because none of this matters to his supporters. In fact, on social media all week, all I saw was praise for Trump. Like we just said, look at how he picks him and he can fuck him. Oh, yeah, he's even better than we thought. This is what they say. Can you believe that this is the president? I mean, if this was your friend.
Well, at least they're consistent.
Then, yeah, if this was my buddy, I'd be like, oh, my God, look at my buddy over here. Yeah. Look at all the gadgets. He's got to get fucked anybody. Not the president.
Wait.
Edward, plus, this was all a month. The Stormy thing, this McDougal thing, it was right after Barron was born.
There you go.
Right after the baby came. Gee, that's not part of a pattern either.
Yeah. 2006 at the Playboy Mansion, where he was taping an episode of The Apprentice.
The Playboy Mansion.
The magazine obtained what they say is 8 pages of McDougal's writings detailing the alleged affair, which reportedly took place less than 2 years after Donald and Melania Trump married when their son Barron was just an infant. McDougal writes that after they had sex,
I wonder if that's why she's pissed.
Their first date, quote, he offered me money. I looked at him, plus felt sad, plus said, no thanks, I'm not that girl. I slept with you because I like you.
Oh, you know what, dear? You slept with Trump because you like him?
You idiot!
What the hell is the matter with you? Most chicks sleep with Trump because he's got $10 billion, not because they you liked him? Get the fuck out of my face with that shit! And you know what? She got paid too. This chick is a fucking, she's as big of a con artist as Trump. Maybe that's why she likes him.
For money. He told me you are special. In 2015, at the time of a report.
Yes, yeah, so special. So special.
Look in debate. McDougal tweeted this old photo.
By the way, I like my Trump impression. I know. I didn't do this part like everybody else does. I do this part. We just deny everything. No. That's my favorite part of Trump's voice.
According to The New Yorker, the National Enquirer, run by David Pecker, who calls President Trump a personal friend.
Isn't that great? The National Enquirer is run by a guy named Pecker who fucking protects Trump at all costs. Yeah, catch and kill, Edward. That's what they're calling this. You catch and kill. Catch the story and kill it. You pay off the people and you kill the story.
Paid McDougal $150,000 for the exclusive rights to her story.
By the way, why did Stormy only get $130,000 and McDougal got $150,000? Because Stormy's a porn star and McDougal is Playmate of the Year.
Maybe.
$20,000?
Maybe.
I think that's
a
$20,000 difference.
That
Trump's
could be.
You know what? Playmate of the Year, porn star, $20,000. $20,000 more.
But they never printed it. Journalist Ronan Farrow, who broke the story, exactly says the Inquirer's motive was clear.
Right. Yeah, and the Inquirer prints everything. Are you fucking kidding me? Why the hell would the Inquirer bury anything? Gee, because the guy who owns it is best friends with Trump.
People in tabloid business call this catch and kill, and it's, you know, acquiring a story to bury it.
Farrow's report claims the affair happened around the same time Mr. Trump allegedly became involved with adult film actress Stormy Daniels.
God, Trump was busy at that time. Yeah, Melania's home with the baby. Fuck the baby. The baby.
Okay. The president's longtime personal attorney acknowledged he paid Daniels $130,000 just before the election. Michael Cohen says neither the president's business nor his campaign was part of the transaction, but he has not said whether the president knew about that payment.
All right, so finally with Trump, Edward, the Russia shit. Oh, boy, the Russia shit now. Amping up again, Edward, from the research I've done.
Absolutely.
Tonight, a unanimous warning from the heads of all six U.S. intelligence agencies.
Okay, this was last week before the indictments came about every U.S. intelligence agency going, listen, Russia, it's real. It's not a hoax. It's not a witch hunt, you stupid fuck. Do something.
Russia is at it again.
Yes, we have seen Russian activity and intentions to have an impact on the next election cycle here.
I agree with Director Pompeo's assessment about the likelihood of the 2018 occurrence as well.
This is not going to change or stop.
Yes, it is not going to change, nor is it going to stop.
We have not seen any evidence of any significant.
Okay, is that enough for everybody? Okay, even if you think the FBI is corrupt or whatever with Mueller because of the all of them, okay? It is not a hoax, a witch hunt, anything, and you should put country over party, you dumb motherfuckers.
Change from last year. I agree with Director Pompeo.
As do I.
The intelligence chiefs also stand by last year's assessment that Russia interfered in the 2016 election.
There should be no.
And you know what? They don't care. You know why? Because the same reason Trump can't attack anybody who's accused of sexual assault. Because he has called it a hoax and a witch hunt. It would invalidate. It would hurt his ego. So it doesn't matter what's best for the country. What's best for Trump's ego is what is said and done.
That Russia perceived that its past efforts has as successful.
But despite this, the president has repeatedly called the entire Russia investigation a hoax.
For 11 months, they've had this phony cloud over this administration, over our government, and it has hurt our government. It does hurt our government.
And you know there's no way you will ever hear the words, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
Yeah, okay.
It's a Democrat hoax.
Prompting members of the Senate Intelligence Committee to ask the intelligence chiefs to push back.
I just wish you all could persuade the president we cannot confront this threat, which is a serious one, with a whole of government response when the leader of the government continues to deny that it exists.
The president inconveniently continues to deny the threat posed by Russia. He didn't increase sanctions on Russia when he had a chance to do so. He hasn't even tweeted a single concern.
The Russia investigation is ongoing in three separate congressional committees plus the special counsel's office. And when the FBI director was asked if the Bureau would ever share information from any of the probes with the president, Christopher Wray was clear.
I'm not going to discuss the investigation in question with the president, much less provide information from that investigation to him.
You know what? Great fucking decision, man. That's how you cover your ass with this idiot.
The federal government tonight outlining an elaborate, expensive, and extraordinary assault on U.S. democracy, describing how 13 Russians and three Russian companies interfered online and in person in the 2016 election.
There we go. 13 indictments levied by Rosenstein against Russians. Of course, Trump thinks this vindicates him.
You see?
Yeah, right.
13 Russians. No collusion.
This has nothing to do with the collusion and you or anything else. This is just another separate branch of this investigation. Like Papadopoulos, you know, Gates, you know, Manafort. It's a vein.
Well, plus anybody who's not a dumb shit knows. Yeah, there was collusion. The meeting in Trump Tower was collusion.
Whether it's
criminal collusion or not is a different story.
Even if it was collusion. Even if you don't think that's the truth. Nobody knows what Mueller has. Did anyone know about these 13 Russians 30 seconds before it happened? Anyone know about Papadopoulos? Gates?
Nope.
Anyone?
Nope.
I mean, come on.
The indictment says the Russians tried to create chaos supporting the Trump presidential campaign and disparaging Hillary Clinton in the general election, not just by posting on social media, but going so far as to travel to key states, organizing rallies like this flash mob in Florida in August.
Yeah, and these dumb fucks fall for this. A bunch of Russians organize a fucking rally just preying on your dumbest, deepest, darkest fears, and you show up in public. You stupid motherfuckers. I'm telling you, man.
What the fuck's the matter with you?
The fuck's the matter with them is they're idiots. They don't research anything. They see something they love, like fucking blood in the water, and they pounce on it.
Yeah, well, they also did shit like set up that rally, you know, and then they went to, you know, Hillary side and said, okay, we set up this Love Hillary Fest. Everybody show up.
Yeah,
and
right.
And they scheduled them for right across the street from each other.
They were playing both sides. They did it, but they were favoring Trump. You know, that's
I'm saying they set shit like that up so there'd be conflict in the
that
street.
That whole mosque in Houston. They're the ones who set up that whole thing when all the Texans showed up at the front of the mosque. That was Russians.
Yep.
You know how stupid you Trump supporters are?
Ronald Reagan is spinning in his fucking grave.
Good.
But the government says the Americans there had no idea the Russians were behind it. The indictment says the defendants paid a Clinton impersonator to perform in a cage wearing a prison uniform. And even after the election, they allegedly staged pro- and anti-Trump rallies on the same day to keep up the confusion. With a budget of more than $1 million a month, the Russians even communicated with unwitting members, volunteers, and supporters of the Trump campaign, all while hiding their true identity.
Can you believe this?
We have a lot of foolish people. We have a lot of foolish people.
Yeah, you have a lot of foolish people, asshole.
Apparently working as volunteers in your campaign. Yeah.
To the Deputy Attorney General.
There's no allegation in this indictment that any American had any knowledge.
Though the president's taking a broader view after months of calling the Russia investigation.
It was a...
I love this. Perfect spot for these clips, Edward.
Dumb Donald is so dumb.
Hoax.
Now,
hoax.
He seems to feel vindicated, tweeting, "The results of the election were not impacted. The Trump campaign did nothing wrong. No collusion."
This had nothing to do with that. Everything that comes out, he goes, "Hey, you see? Oh, what? It's partly cloudy today. See? No collusion." I mean, it's fucking everything.
But
the indictment doesn't vindicate anyone. What an indictment does is it charges people,
and in this case, organizations with federal crimes. But there's no vindication simply because you're not mentioned.
I don't even think he knows what the meaning of vindication is.
No, what he's saying is, see, that's it. They issued the indictments, and there was, and I wasn't on
no
there.
Collusion.
So see, it just proves I'm innocent.
If we talk about the Olympics, you know, and we don't mention that there's collusion with Trump and Russia, see, they talked about the Olympics, no collusion.
The special counsel investigation covers a lot of ground and could be far from over, even with today's announcement. In a formal White House statement, the president called on Americans to unite to protect the integrity of our democracy.
Yeah, because he unites everybody, right? Oh, God, such a... I remember when they called Obama divisive. Oh, my Lord.
Our elections. But he didn't say what he'll actually do or what punishments Moscow might face.
There is absolutely no way that they would have conducted this kind of extensive operation going undercover into the United States of America without the blessing of the Kremlin.
One key defendant.
Yeah, but Trump is. No, I don't think Putin knows it. No, he doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe there was collusion.
Yeah.
Right.
He believed it because they had Putin one time saying it wasn't the Russian government. It was probably just some patriotic Russians. Yeah. Patriotic Russians doing their patriotic duty.
Who got $1 million a month.
That's beside the point when they got money.
Yes.
Does catering for the Kremlin. And in his words, is not upset at all to be indicted, telling Russian state media, if they want to see the devil, let them see him.
Yeah, see, this caterer to Putin, he's like, I don't give a fuck, indict me, U.S. Number one, you can't take me from Russia. And number two, as far as Trump, you want to see the devil, let him see him. I love that shit.
It's not very likely these Russians will ever face trial because Vladimir Putin has no incentive to extradite them.
Yeah.
Bottom line here, these documents show foreign adversaries exploited partisanship to undermine one of this country's greatest strengths, our democratic
system. Yeah, for some reason, the last second of my clips have been cut off for the last 2 weeks, and it's starting to piss me off. But anyway, yeah. Total horse shit. Are you kidding me? I mean, God, anyone who just falls for this guy is hilarious. All right, let's end with the Olympics, Edward. You know what? I guess I guilted myself into watching last week after I said I wasn't interested. I'm telling you, man. Let's see. As far as the U.S., we got Mirai Nagasu. She is a skater. All right?
Yep.
Figure skating. Was the first woman, first American woman to land a triple axel in the Olympics.
Okay.
And I didn't, I'm like, wow, I thought everybody landed triple axel.
Well, the guys all do.
The girls don't?
The guys do. The big thing in the guys is the guy who landed a quad.
Yeah, well, we'll get to him in a second. But I thought that other women had landed triple axels. But hey, congratulations to her. Sean White. Oh, did you see that, Edward?
I didn't see
Man, he fucked up on his second run, and he was like, one more, and he did a flawless fucking final run, destroyed the competition by 2.5 points. 31 years old, I think he is.
Yeah.
Didn't medal at Sochi 4 years ago. So he's on an 8-year drought, and he, you know, was just ecstatic.
Yeah,
you know, he was crying. He was crying more than Jimmy Kimmel. Chloe Kim. And snowboarding seems to be our strongest sport.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Chloe Kim, 17-year-old, who was also part Korean. She had I don't think in the Olympics, but at one point she had a perfect score of 100. She kicked ass, and I'll tell you what, she's a cute little chick. I know she's only fucking 17. I shouldn't say it. I'm 48. But she is cute. Who I felt bad for was Jacob Ellis. This chick is like the top snowboarder,
yeah,
but fucks up at the Olympics every time.
Yep.
Wins everywhere but the Olympics, and that has got to kill you. 4 years of work, you get all these world championships, you get all these records, and at the Olympics, you fuck up. I don't know. She just was.
She's
lagging.
She got the nerves now. Now the Olympics is just in her fucking head. The Olympics are in her head now.
Yeah, I guess. Edward. Now I remember watching the luge. When did the skeleton come about? It's the head first.
Yeah,
luge.
Right. Yeah, No, they've had that for a while.
I never saw it.
Yeah,
before.
They've had that.
I'm like, wow, head first.
The skeleton. Yeah,
that was pretty fucking cool, man. Watching the skeleton. American skater Nathan Chen. Even though last night during this guy's like the quad king. The chick was calling him Nathan Quad. And he was supposed to do 5 quad jumps during his routine. He did 6.
Oh, he snuck one in?
The reason he snuck one is because on one of them, his hands hit the ice. He almost fell. But he didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he thought, oh, I got to sneak into the quad.
Make sure that I got 5 clean ones so no one can say
you know
touched.
What? I fell asleep. I can't remember if he won or not. But anyway, skiing. Oh, my God. We've got the most gorgeous skiers. I don't care what place they've been. Michaela Schifrin.
Yeah.
She looks like a fucking, she's goddamn gorgeous. Lindsey Vonn.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. But Michaela Schifrin did great. Lindsey Vonn. Oh, my God. Did you watch this last night, Edward?
No, I didn't.
Her grandpa just died. She had the injury before the Sochi Olympics, so she couldn't even race. First Olympics in 8 years. Was killing it. The last turn.
Yeah.
She lost it. Kind of went a little sideways. Didn't fall. You know, and this chick is like the evil Knievel of skiing. She has broken both arms, torn an MCL, an ACL, broken 4 ribs, concussion. I mean, you know, and she lost about a half a second. Well, guess what? From first to fifth place, you know what the point differential was?
Yeah, about a half a second.
No, 0.37.
Okay.
So that caught. She would have won. She would have fucking won. And afterwards, she like looks at me, I tried. And I was like, oh, man, this sucks. You know, she was great. She really was. All right, so there we go, Edward. You going to be here next week?
Nope.
No, Edward is off next week. I don't know. Maybe I'll go solo. Maybe I'll have a guest. Who knows, everybody? It's potluck when Edward is off. But, all right, so listen. I've been saying I wanted to do mashups, I can't do the mashups because either people keep dying or groups are release new albums or new songs. Finally, we got to the mashup, man. Now, this is The Doors and Nirvana. Okay, you got Smells Like Teen Spirit mashed up with Love Me 2 Times, which I think is it's really good, man. It's fucking good. And I got to be playing more of these mashups. I got to mix them in here in the next couple of months. But all right, so I will either be solo or with some type of guest next week. Who gives a fuck? You know, we'll get through it. So here's Doors of Nirvana mashup. Now, what is this called? Oh, shit. Hold on. What's it called? Smells Like 2 Times, I think it's something like that. I don't know. They give these wacky names to all this shit, but whatever. All right. I will see you next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks, Edward.
Yep.
Later, folks.